This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
A couple of days ago, we talked about the violations of freedom of information in East Haven. And then we saw this article in CT Mirror about all the legislation related to sort of amending and tweaking freedom of information here in Connecticut, and it's complicated, right? And so I thought it would be interesting. And this stuff's important, right? You want to be able to, and again, as sort of journalism shrinks and there's less access to what's going on, like sometimes FOIA stuff is important to find out what actually is happening. And so I'm curious about what sort of legislation is being talked about and how it would impact our ability to access information that we may need, or maybe there's access to information that we don't need that we need to protect people's identity. So there's a whole bunch of things going on. Andrew Brown from CT Mirror, one of the co-bylines on the piece here. Go to ctmirror.org if you want to read it. Andrew, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So can you just sort of, there's a whole bunch of legislation related to freedom of information. I don't know, instead of like summarizing all of them, are there any that have a real legitimate chance of passing?
It's hard to say. Some of these bills are repeats from previous sessions that we covered, but, you know, we looked at this because we were told that just the broad scope and the number of bills related to freedom of information that made it out of committee this year was quite large. Yeah. And that's based on, you know, the executive director of the FOIC, the commission, which oversees disputes over public records. They said essentially, you know, they see bills all the time, every session, and their job is partly to educate lawmakers on what it wouldn't do. But they said this year there's just a large mountain of bills related to open records in Connecticut.
Now, like for me, if it's access to information that people should be able to know about, that's one thing. On the other side, if it's people could get access to like dox people or whatever, that's a different issue. Like what are some of the things, like as a journalist, you know, that you're seeing concern you?
I mean, there's a couple bills in here that I just, looking at it from a journalistic perspective and knowing how I do my job in requesting records at times, you know, one that really stood out to me was there was a bill that would exempt formal complaints about police officers and corrections officers who may have done something wrong. And essentially, the public would not be able to see complaints that were filed by members of the public or people who are in prison until those are formally adjudicated in some way. And as advocates have pointed out, well, what happens if a police officer leaves before an investigation is closed and goes to a different department? And the result would be that that complaint would never be brought to the public and nobody would be able to know about the conduct of an officer.
So we're talking with Andrew Brown, again, from CT Mirror. If you go to ctmirror.org, you can read the piece, co-byline with Jenna Carlesso. And it says several Connecticut bills would limit public access to records through FOIA. I'm curious on both sides. I mean, because it's really difficult if you do a Freedom of Information Act request with an organization or what have you, department, and it's obviously going to reflect poorly on that organization or department, that's difficult, right? My question to you is on both sides. Is there abuse on the side of the requestee? Do they stonewall often? And then are there some, whether it's people, organizations, or whatever, who just overwhelm the system with requests and sometimes they're frivolous?
So I often, and my colleagues often, I only know, you know, what FOIAs we file at the Connecticut Mirror. And there are times when it is very hard to get records because of the existing exemptions. I'll give an example. I FOIA'd something from the Department of Administrative Services. And I got back a bunch of redacted documents, and they said they withheld all of these documents because they were drafts and notes. That's an exemption under the state law. Now, whether DAS is actually, the state agency is actually adhering to that law and reading it and interpreting it correctly, I'm currently challenging in front of the FOIC in Connecticut. But yeah, they use exemptions all the time to try to make sure that records don't get out. Right. If there's an exemption or a tool to use to withhold records and not disclose them, it will often be used. At the same time, there is protections against people who are making frivolous requests. Right. Colleen Murphy, who runs the FOIC, the executive director, will tell you that public agencies can file a case at the FOIC essentially to make a determination that someone is what is called a vexatious requester. Meaning they are filing FOIA requests often frivolously and just essentially drowning a public agency in work that isn't necessary or isn't in good faith. So there is protections for that in Connecticut at the moment.
Well, yeah, how do we, you might not know this. I'm just curious, the last question here for Andrew Brown from CT Mirror. And again, go to ctmirror.org to read the piece. How does Connecticut compare to other states, or at least maybe New England cohort states, with this stuff?
I don't know all of New England's laws. I've worked in places like South Carolina, West Virginia, North Dakota, where I filed FOIAs before.
And how do those work? How do we compare to those then?
The big difference is that we have the Freedom of Information Commission here, which allows somebody who is requesting records to challenge a denial. On their own without having to go to, a state court, for instance. So that's a big, in my opinion, benefit. It allows somebody like myself to, or a member of the public, to represent themselves in arguing that records should become public. I will say, though, that, just because I've worked in other places like South Carolina, and sometimes those places actually release records much easier than I've encountered here. So I don't think it should be assumed that because we're in New England and we're in a place like Connecticut that we somehow have easier access to records than other places in the country.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, it's a fascinating topic, and I wonder if this stuff gets to a vote. Let's stay on top of it, and if anything develops here, we should talk again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Andrew, have a great day. Appreciate it as always. Andrew Brown from CT Mirror and ctmirror.org.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. That it's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.